I don't know, not long after the owner turned it over to the natives, not long after.
About the time of World War One?
Probably yes, during World War One, I think.
What we were mentioning before was that you, when you first made some money, was to get that metal, getting metal, and you were talking about getting it off that ship, copper and brass and things.
Glass, yeah.
And some pieces which are found in the old ruins, like the ones that you are digging now, like some parts from the kettle made out of brass and copper. And I see some of the ones that are sold one time is a whaling gun made out of brass.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody needed money and sell that gun for a few dollars. They had to weigh it.
Did people actually dig in the old houses to find copper and brass?
Yeah, in some cases, yes, by digging with a hook. And not too deep, just on the surface. And we even saved some shells from the ammunition.
Well, you mentioned that I think you mentioned that the reason for that was that the government or somebody wanted to buy that metal.
Yeah.
So that was during World War One.
Right.
Right. You were doing that. So then you'd sell it to some government agent or something?
No, not to the government agent. The stores are collecting it for the government.
Yeah.
They don't give us money for it. They give us whatever they have. If the price matches what we want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in those days, there's no aluminum.
That's right.
The only old pot and kettle used to be a copper. Even the shells, we pick it up, old shell. Anything that we could find from these old places or down there, copper, brass, we're saving it.
Mostly people find more from the old wrecks, those big spikes made out of brass and copper that they use for building those ships, wooden ships.
You mentioned that transit wreck was at Nunavak.
Yeah.
Is that right near Hollywood? What's they call Hollywood?
This side of Hollywood.
It's this side of Hollywood. You think any of that wreck is still left there, or is it all gone?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Before that, there has been some also down towards Wainwright. Some pieces that are drifted in from somewhere. From these pieces, they would see some brass spikes and take them out and sell them to the collectors.
You remember the location of some of the other wrecks that were along here besides the transit?
There must have been one around near the point, right on the beach, but that was long gone, almost before our time. That they say that the one of the whaling ships was traveling at night. And the ground was covered with snow at the time. And he thinks that this was the cake of ice. and just smacks right into it and ground it. Never get off. Then you know, looking color.
Yeah. Well, there's another wreck in that same place. Libby's war master's boat.
What place is
what
it?
They call it Arctic.
Oh, the Arctic.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a picture of that. It floated around out there in the pack ice for a while, mm-hmm. didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a captain's problem. The captain is responsible for that wreck, they say. When the ice loosened up a little bit, he would come towards the point out here. When he could almost go around the point where it's more safer, where he could go ahead and go on to his destination. Instead, he was so scared of ice. There was so much ice at the time. When the ice begins to come in again, instead of going that way, he goes back to Nunavut. That's where he got wrecked when the tide gets stronger, and he was shoved right in. And
well, the first place when he go over there, he was safe. And when the ice open up again, same wind come, he go over there again instead of going around the point. And he got wrecked.
So that's two ships that wrecked right near Nunavut, huh?
Yeah.
One is sailing ship, four-masted, and the one is motor ship, four-masted. The last one was wrecked in 1924,
that was the transit?
No.
No.
The Arctic.
The Arctic.
Well, this one just come only second year that Arctic wrecked.
Brand new ship.
Arnold Leibis, those two brothers' companies, ship.
That was the time when Brower was working for that company.
And that time when that Arctic wrecked, I heard the company wouldn't buy that wrecked.
The company wouldn't buy it?
No. Mr. Bauer was working for our Liebes company. They had a law, Mr. Bauer wouldn't buy that wrecked. But he put Eskimo name. That guy, he don't know when he's going to buy that ship, one of the Eskimos right here. He mentioned that name. This guy will buy that Arctic wreck. He's a crooked old man, that guy.
Oh, he wanted him.
Yeah, he wouldn't have it.
He wanted it, but he wasn't allowed to buy that.
No.
He had to use
So he used an Eskimo name or another person?
Well, he put another name in there. So he would have that.
Yeah.
That's what I always hear. One time that guy was telling me, one time he go to the store and Mr. Bauer tell him, your bill is paid, instead of telling him, you buy a ship.
Oh. which ship was that? Was that the Arctic?
Arctic.
So he bought the Arctic when it was wrecked through this other guy.
Yeah, he let that.
Because he's working for the Liebes company.
He instead of put a Brower's name.
Yeah, so of course he can't buy it. So I suppose all he wanted was the stuff off it.
Right.
The cargo. What was the cargo?
Dry goods, arms and ammunition, food. flour and such things, sugar, pounded bread and
stuff for his good for his store.
Yeah. The stuff for all of their stores to Beachy Point, Barter Island, Demarcation Point, and the other stuff, what's left, they take it to Canadian side at Herschel Island and sell it to the natives up there for fur. That's the way they do the trading at the time.
What caused the transit to crack up?
The first one? The first four-masted, the way I understand, there were hardly any ice at the time. The weather was nice, and when old Captain John Backlin took off after he unloaded his stuff here for his store, of course he still had some to sell down to Point Hope or Costigan or somewhere around there, who wanted to buy the stuff. He still had some left. And on the way down, he was going close to the beach. And somewhere there was a grounded old ice. And the story is that he hit that grounded ice instead of going further from it when he can. Somebody made a hunch that he intentionally do that. We don't know why. Probably in order to collect the insurance if he had on that ship. We don't know. Somebody would say that he did it on purpose.
Well, that's the only one grounded ice he hit it.
And when he find out there's a leak started, instead of going the other way, he just beats the ship.
Which one of the, some of those traders who came up here married local people and started families, some didn't. Which were the ones that started families with the married people up here and started families? I know Brower did, but who were some of the others, that those traders that started families up here?
We know Fred Gordon. I mean Tom Gordon.
Yeah.
Who was hired by Levis Company and put up the store at Demarcation Point. And later he moved to Barter and started another store. And the other one was taken care of by his oldest son, Michael Gordon. He's the one that started the family here, along with Brower. And there's another man, Fred Hobson, Al Hobson's father. And Tony Edwardson is one that married, or let's put it this way, he stole a man's wife and ran away with her in the boat. He and my Uncle John were the only ones who are starting in that boat up eastward. And probably earlier, the way the talk goes on, that this lady and Edwardson made some agreements without knowing her husband. So she will be over here in that spot by the time he was leaving. So she walked at night along the coast up there And when he came by in the boat, they stopped there and picked her up. And that's the way he ran away with the girl. He had his station at the Harrison Bay, then on to Olutok, and from there he moved to Beachy Point, working for Lever's company. He's another one that started the family here.
That would be Charles Edwardson Sr.'s
father. Yes.
Did he learn to speak Inupiaq?
No. Although he understands a little bit. He was Norwegian.
He's Norwegian. Tony. I used to hear.
And another one. There's another one that lived down at Wainwright by the name of Jim Allen, who started the store for Lever's company. He's also the one
in Wainwright?
Yeah.
The store in Wainwright?
The Lever's store at Wainwright. He's got a native wife. He had a family. His girl is still living here in Barrow. That's Alice Kilbear.
So her married name is Kilbear?
Yeah. Who else?
Well, I used to hear old Mr. Bauer used to pick out Jim Allen and Tom Horton to work with them. I used to hear that way.
Yeah.
Anyway, they are companies. But Mr. Brower picked out those two, Jim Allen and Tom Gordon. And Mickey, I guess. Mickey Gordon used to have a store at the demarcation point.
Yeah, after that's Tom they son. Set up another station at Barter Island. At first, Tom Gordon was managing that first store at demarcation point. Then, in 1923, Lever's company started another store at the Barter Island. So, Tom Gordon moved to Barter Island in order to build that store and manage it, and leave his oldest son, Michael Gordon, to take care of the demarcation store.
So Mickey Gordon was his son.
Yeah. By his first wife.
You mentioned another guy earlier named Hansen. I think he was Backlund's assistant, Hansen.
Yeah, Hansen's store manager for here. After the old transit was wrecked.
Did he start a family here or not?
No, you know.
I know that Jack Smith married a native woman here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they had a family or not.
Yes.
They did.
They had two girls and one boy. That's Lucy Alokhan.
Yeah.
Also, Fred Hobson, Al's father, was a cook for the Lever's company station over here before they turned the store over to Brower. They had quite an outfit at the time. Brower had the bookkeeper, the interpreter, and some one or two hands for labor and a cook. The time we begin to open our eyes and ears.
Right.
That's the way it was.
Do you remember some of the first the missionaries that were here?
According to the story, the first missionary was Stevenson.
You seen him?
No, I know. I only knew I've seen
Dr. Marsh.
Dr. Marsh. You've seen him?
Yeah, I've seen him.
I know his older children too at the time.
I wonder how many kids they have.
I used to count them in the picture, the ones that Taupo had.
Yeah, we had a picture too. My mother had a picture of all of them, dad and mom and all their kids. I don't remember now. I don't remember how many it is.
That was taken almost after they moved down to Lower 48. Uh-huh. Stevenson was the first missionary, according to the story from the people that, like our parents, to the story.
So they were all associated with this church, right?
Yeah.
Right here.
Mm-hmm. Because this was the only first church that ever built at the time. I don't think he had a church at the time when he first started it. He was also the school teacher. Started the school. The way the people explain it sometimes that the government and the mission, Presbyterian mission, almost worked together at the time. They supply a teacher and his salary, while the mission gets the benefit of having a missionary here among the natives. So the government pays him with a salary, and he do the mission work also. That's the way it was until when, I don't know. It goes on with Spriggs, those earlier missionaries.
No, I don't know much about those before Dr. Marsh anyway.
Dr. Spriggs was also a school teacher, the way I hear, getting salary from the government, teaching school at the same time. And same way with Mr. Cram.
Yeah.
And Mr.
Richardson.
They were also the school teachers. Still, they are the missionaries. Even though after the church building was built, the first one was burned down. We don't know what year, but when Dr. Marsh was up here the second time, or the first time, probably the first
time. I remember you mentioning Takpak's house and how the church had burned down and he let the ministers stay there that one time.
Yeah, when that old Takpak house was in the old location here, we understand that when it is finished, right after the first mission was burned, instead of moving in, he let the Marsh family live in that house.
Could be.
That's the way I hear it.
I think I heard about that too.
So later on, when the manse was built, we don't know when they moved out of that house and finally Topwook had his own house to live in.
You don't know what year that?
No, we don't know. I don't know. The church might have a history of it.
Yes, they might have. They probably have that in the records, that particular date. So that was Dr. Marsh.
Yeah, Dr. Marsh was out one time, probably leaving Dr. Spriggs, who was a school teacher in charge of the mission work. Both of them worked together. And later, after Spriggs gone out, Dr. Marsh came back. And then they had another school teacher there. I don't think he was connected to the mission at the time. His name was Hawksworth.
Huh?
Hawksworth.
Hawksworth, yeah.
Hawksworth. And after Hawksworth, Mr. Cram came. And by the time when Marsh left, he was a missionary teacher. Then, after 4 years, he went out and another teacher came who had a family and do the same work, a teaching missionary teacher. That's Richardson.
Yeah.
About what years was that?
I don't quite know too well about what year.
1920s.
Before that.
Before that.
For the last time he went out, Dr. Cram went out in 1921. By the time when Nichols took over. That time, the church was separated, it's got the missionary of its own from then on. That was the last time when Mr. Cram came back after Richardson's left. Mr. Cram and his wife came back for the last time and stayed here for 4 years. During that time, an old man and his wife came up to do the mission work. He was also a doctor. Almost the same time, or before Cramps, was it? I think so. But anyway, both men stayed here at the same time, 4 years. And then, no. Wait a minute. Cramps comes 1 year earlier than Dr. Spence. I get mixed up. Dr. Spence came 1 year earlier than Cramps. By 1920, when the first hospital was just beginning to be built, after 4 years, Dr. Spence went out. And Cramps stayed another year during the building of that new hospital.
First hospital.
The one that burned down.
The first hospital was built.
Yeah, Mission. Built by
1920.
Presbyterian
Hospital. Yes, yes. It was built, it started to be built in 1920. The material came in.
That's the one that burned.
Yeah,
1940 or somewhere around.
1937.
Did you work in that first hospital?
No, I was away. I was one of them driving a reindeer up to Brownlow Point.
Brownlow Point?
Yeah.
They took reindeer all the way over to Brownlow?
Right. We take 3,000. I was one of that year.
That was 1937?
I think so.
What herd was that?
Before, somebody was starving up there, one guy. He got a cook pile for to supply winter meat. But some of the guys finished that pile what he got to use for the whole winter.
Somebody else took it?
Yeah, eat it. And he don't know. And that man was starved to death. Then after that, they let us drive a reindeer up to Brumble Point. So if that thing happened again, so they might have meat.
The thing is that in the first place, there are quite a number of families from Barrow who moved around that coast all the way up to demarcation. The ones who owned reindeer here, most of them. And so when the reindeer increases in here, after that starvation happens up eastward, they decided to get a bunch of reindeer out of Barrow herd for those people to use, especially for the ones who own them before they leave. So they took, they hired some people from here, and he's one of them, to drive that herd clear up to Brownlow Point.
What year was that starvation?
1937. These reindeer was altogether 3,000 that we drove.
And that came out of the Barrow?
Barrow.
So who owned that herd? A lot of different people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
They called it company at that time.
What?
Company.
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 Reindeer company or?
Reindeer company.
Barrow Reindeer Company.
Oh. Did they have an office here?
Only at the school building, I think.
Oh.
Taken care of by the superintendent of the school.
Oh. Who was in charge of that?
Different people who are managing at the time.
Well, somebody used to be down in Juneau. Who's the head of that outfit? Ranger?
Ranger Service.
Ranger Service.
Office down there, which is called Ranger Service, and they would have some superintendent out there.
So you kept 3,000 head out there at Brownlow Point?
Yeah.
Now, how long did you live there at Brownlow Point?
No, we just stayed up there 17 days. Somebody got to take over. We wait 17 days in Brownlow Point. Well, they had fixed the papers. We got to wait until Mickey Quarter come over. We got to live. How long? No matter how long we stay out there, we got to wait for Mickey Quarter.
What time of year was that?
Huh?
What time of year was that? Summertime?
Winter.
Winter.
They started
November.
From the camp out there in November.
November.
Oh yeah, where was the camp?
Okay. Right near Akasuk.
Where
they do the corralling and counting of the reindeer. And from there they separate a part of the herd which are going to be driven clear up to Brownville Point.
In November.
In November.
How long did it take you to get there?
We got home.
I mean, just come on.
Oh, we had Christmas and New Year in Coupic.
Where were the people living in Coupic at that time?
Well, there's a lot of people. Any place,
different places.
New days, you see. The only money they could get out of a fur.
Yeah. So after Christmas, then you, after New Year's, you moved on to Brownell Point.
Yeah, I don't know how long it takes us up there.
Another couple of weeks.
Maybe more.
You see, it takes time driving the herd.
Yeah.
They don't stand every day's travel. You had to
stop and
be careful. Yeah. When you drove them day after day, they begin to get lean and poor. So you had to rest them for certain days.
Who did you see at Brownell Point?
Well, there's a training post up there that was Henry
Chamberlain's post.
Henry, who's
Chamberlain?
Huh?
Chamberlain.
Chamberlain, yeah. And there's Samuel Punning there. And
his family.
Yeah, whole family and the old man, Samuel Punning, father.
His father.
Yeah, and Tugutak.
His family.
And Johnson Alnina.
His family.
Johnson Alnina.
His family.
Horace Asawayak and his family. This Horace.
Yes.
And Roxy Oyak and his family.
A lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I don't understand.
Clifford Sawak and his
family.
Yeah,
Clifford Sawak, yeah. Tate Wawik.
Did you live with one of those families when you were there, or did you have your tents, or what?
No, we stayed. We divided into certain houses when we get up there.
Oh yeah, it was you and who else?
Well, this was Wayne Kedick and me and Arthur and his wife Nyako and Kunalo.
Alfred Kunalo.
Alfred Kunalo and Henry Alnato.
Ralph Alaluk.
Ralph Alaluk.
All these from Barrow.
Yeah. I think six of us from Barrow. But there's a few more guys that come from east to help to here to Barrow. When we started to draw the reindeer.
So there were some guys from the east that came in and helped you go back out.
Yeah. They come with us.
Do you remember who they were?
Well, I know, yeah.
Kubana.
Kubana.
What's his first name? Before he moved up to Canada.
James Kubana. And
Silas.
Silas Kangarana.
What was that last name?
Kangarana.
Kangarana. Silas Kangarana. And
Kapuk.
Kapuk.
I don't remember his first name.
I don't remember either. And Maligiana. Johnny Maligiana. And Nalikak, which is
Harry.
Harry Nalikak and one of the Okamaya boys that was Nigzu.
Nigzu. Can you carry me? That's next.
Those are the guys that drove in the reindeer.
Well, who was Kirik you mentioned?
Huh?
You mentioned
Kirik.
When's Kirik? He's our boss that time.
You've seen his picture in Alaska Airlines airplane tail.
Oh, his picture.
That's him.
If I were relative to him, I would go after Alaska Airlines.
Yeah, they didn't ask to use the picture.
I wonder who put that.
Maybe they just picked it up from the newspaper or something.
Yeah,
probably. That's just what I suggest to his daughter one time.
They either can't use it or they have to pay to use it.
Yeah.
Well, his wife is still alive.
Maybe she doesn't know.
If I was one of them, I'd go after them. Yeah. If you come by it like this, using somebody's picture before they're telling them.
And put it on the tail of an airplane?
There's a lot of people saw it. A lot of people recognize it.
You remember what I just told that lady the other day?
What's that?
About the story?
Yes, yeah.
You should have known.
That's the end of this tape.